That's good.
We have been talking about these spiritual treasures in Christ Jesus, these qualities of life, spiritual graces that we receive from Christ through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This tranquility in the inner man. Just an inner peace and quiet and calm. That's that refuge. We've talked about the joy of the Lord, which is such a strength. And when you're full of joy, you are so less tempted to just fill an empty void with just meaningless things of the world. You don't need worldly entertainment when you're full of the Lord's joy. A sound mind, a mind that is supported, girded, so that when you're attacked or when you're startled, that you're able to think carefully. Yet your mind is guarded by the peace of Christ. And wisdom from above, we talked about that, how it's a clarity. To be able to see things with clarity. What should I do? What do I need to do? And understanding how the Lord brings things together and helps us see how they actually work together. And the last one we talked about, the fear of the Lord. But it's rather than adding another one to this, what I want to talk about tonight is the danger of wasted potential. Because all of these things have been given. All that we've talked about, they've all been given. But that does not mean we benefit from them. All of Israel was given the promised land, weren't they? Well, these spiritual blessings are given by God for all. They're for every believer. They are not for preachers or missionaries only or ministers. They are for God's people, because when we experience them, everyone in our life gets touched by these qualities. Our tranquility blesses others. The fear of the Lord protects us and enables us to give counsel. When we have wisdom and clarity, we're able to share that with the people in our lives. Every one of the things we receive from Jesus Christ enhances our own personal life so that we do well. We do better. We have God's help and His favor, and others recognize this in our life. But so few experience these, even though they have been given. So a question, if God has made us so rich in Christ, if God has given us every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, why do so many live in spiritual poverty? Why do so many seem like they lack what they need rather than they're abounding in it? Remember, Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and have it more abundant." Ask yourself this question. How does my Christian life look like to others? Does it look to them like I always have more than I even need? Or does it look like I'm always like kind of lost, barely making it? What does it look like to them? Do they see that God is always able to make His grace abound to you, so that He's always giving you more than you even need? Is that what it looks like to them? And it's His testimony. It's His honor when we experience these treasures in Christ. It brings Him honor. It becomes our testimony. It makes us a dynamic witness, and it makes a difference in the lives of the people who know us, and it draws them to the Lord. So the enemy fights to keep us from experiencing these treasures that God has given us. But let's answer that question. Why are so many living without these things when God has already given them to us in Christ? Well, let's look at Hebrews chapter 4. This was spoken about the nation of Israel. What had God given the people of Israel that He rescued from Egypt? He gave them the entire promised land, hadn't He? And the promised land was cities that were already built, orchards that were already planted, vineyards that were already well established, fields that had already been plowed, houses that were already built, filled with all kind of wonderful things for them, the land of promise. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us just as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them. All these promises that God gave them did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Here you go.
Part of the problem is that even as Christians, don't we equate a blessing with something physical, something concrete rather than something...
Sometimes, yes. That's part of the problem. But what I want to focus on here is, despite that God had promised his people that he was bringing them to a place where there was a dynamic abundance for them, they did not get to enjoy it because of their unbelief.
Yeah.
Now I want you to, how does that relate to us? Let's be thinking about this. So the generation given the riches of the promised land, they died in spiritual poverty, wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Now notice this, they were sustained. Every day they had manna for 40 years. God didn't abandon them. He continued to give them manna. Did you know that God was still with them?
Yeah.
The pillar of fire at night, the pillar of cloud during the day, all 40 years God was with them. But get this, they were only being sustained. Yeah. They were not being blessed. He was keeping them going. They were existing. They were not abounding. It wasn't a wonderful life. It just, they were making it. Where are we? Are we making it? Are we abounding? Are we experiencing the abundant life that our Lord is so honored by? That people can recognize, or do they see that we're just getting by? Yeah, Rudy.
Brother, I think that part of the problem is the priorities by which we live.
Well, we'll be talking about that tonight, sure. I think what that results in is an undeveloped faith and potential. It's we'll talk about that. We'll come back to that. It will manifest itself to be very true. Hebrews chapter 3, about this generation that did eat manna every day. Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Now, think about this. God was angry with them, and he fed them manna every day. His presence led them every day, but he was angry with them.
Yes.
Think about that. Just because you're alive and breathing does not mean God is well pleased with you. God is never pleased with unbelief. He calls it an evil heart of unbelief. Was it not, with whom was he angry those 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned? And by the way, those are the same people that he had saved from Egypt to bring to the promised land. But look, their corpses fell in the wilderness because of their unbelief. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? But to those who did not obey. And why? What was it that they did not obey? He brought them to the very edge of the promised land, and he gave them instructions. What were the instructions? Cross this river, go in, and take the land. Drive out the inhabitants. And it says, so we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. So here's where they were. Here's where it relates to us. In their mind, what God had asked them to do was too hard. Have you ever thought that? That's just too hard, Brother Al. God, that's just too hard. It's just too hard to keep my mouth from ever complaining and murmuring. That's just too hard. Oh, really? You can't drive out murmuring and complaining from your life? Are you an Israelite? You're just going to wander around your spiritual life, never experiencing the abundance of Christ if you murmur and complain. You drive it out, or you'll suffer for not driving it out. You're disbelieving God. Can you rejoice in the Lord always? Always? In everything? Can you give thanks? No, Brother Allen, that's too hard. Oh, is it? You can't drive out depression. You can't drive out self-pity. You can't drive out those things. Beware. That generation wandered around going nowhere because in their mind, what God asked them to do was too hard. Yeah, move on.
Same equation. They were looking across the river and saw the walled cities and the giants sitting on top of the wall. So they saw something physical.
Yeah.
And they kind of not a blessing at all.
Yeah, we have our own areas. It's just what are the giants that we think, no, that's too, that's been in my life too long. You just don't understand. Well, here's what it is. Anything, and Vivian, you're pointing out something that I'm going to bring back around. They were looking at the size of the walls and the size of the people, not at the power of God. And when we say it's too hard, what are we looking at? We're looking at the problem and not at God. That's what we're doing. And the danger is that all that God desires for us, all the spiritual treasures He has for us in Christ, will not do us any good if we respond in unbelief like they did. So faith is so important. So Hebrews 6, that's why Hebrews 6. And let me encourage you to study the book of Hebrews for this very reason, because it will be a wonderful reminder to you of what can happen if you become unbelieving. If you've developed that attitude, well, there's some things, brother, are just too hard. Okay. Be it done unto you according to your faith. God may not abandon you. He'll give you your daily bread and you'll breathe, but you'll never experience the fullness and the abundance. In order to do that, look at what the writer of Hebrews said in chapter 6. And we desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. That you do not become sluggish, dull is a good word, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Dull or sluggish is the Greek word for not sharp. In other words, it doesn't have an ability to penetrate. So you know what's happening if we're dealing with a problem we just can't seem to break through? It's a faith problem. Maybe we've kind of become dull. And what's we've not been pressing in by faith. And that will make something. Have y'all ever tried to cut something in the kitchen, ladies, with a dull knife? It's dangerous, isn't it? It's actually harder, isn't it, than using a very sharp knife. We got to be careful. If we allow our faith and our spiritual life to become a little dull, things can seem harder. Let's talk about this. The opposite of dull is to press in, penetrate. Look at what Jesus said. I want you to think about this. Matthew chapter 11. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent men take it by force. Have you ever thought about it? What did he mean? The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. Well, the word for suffers violence is the Greek word biazete. It means to lay hold of something with a positive aggression. You're not just trying. You are after this thing. You are charging. You're pressing into this. And the word for take it by force, it means you take by an open display of force. Now let me give you a practical. There's a lot of people who would like to do better in life. but this not, it's not something they're aggressive about. When I became a new believer, it was me who sought out that other brother who knew more in the Lord than I did. I didn't wait for him to call me. I didn't wait for him to check on me. I was the pursuer. When I had a question, I was asking them. When I didn't know and understand something, I sought it out. I didn't sit on my rear waiting, wishing something to be different. And let me tell you, if that's your approach to spiritual growth, don't expect to get anywhere. The kingdom of God is for men who want it. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. Sit on your rear and what do you get? A flat bottom. That's what you get. The kingdom, Jesus meant something by this. A lot of people didn't reach out. But what about that? You remember old blind man Bartimaeus? He heard that Jesus was walking by. You remember what he did? He began to cry out with all of his voice, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me." All the people around him were trying to tell him, "Quiet, shut up." He would not stop. And guess who Jesus stopped for and healed that man? He cried out. And everyone who came to Jesus, right? You tell me there's not a single place in the scripture where someone came to Jesus and did not walk away healed.
Amen.
But not everyone came to Jesus, so not everyone was healed. But that woman, remember, had bled for 12 years and said, "If I just touch the hem of his garment," and of course she's unclean. She's not even supposed to be around touching people because but she knew. And she pressed her way through the crowd. That's what this is talking about. If you want to experience these things in Christ, it's going to take some positive resolution. You're going to have to press into the Lord to experience Him. And that's kind of what you're talking about. There's a lot of passivity about things that He's given us. We're not responding in the way that God wants us to. So, you know what? Aggression is always called for in a war. You better show a little bit of aggression. If you don't want to fight the devil, that's fine. He doesn't mind knocking you out. Does he? If you're asleep, you think look at that. Wouldn't be fair for me to take advantage of them. They're just distracted. They're just being late. I better wait till they're at their best so we can make it even. Look, if we make his job easy for him, that's our fault. We're the ones that we're told to be alert, right? Awake, in prayer, full of the Spirit, led by the Spirit. Those are things we need to be involved. And if we are, look at this promise. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, that's the war, and the Spirit against the flesh, that's the war. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. So because we are at war with our flesh, we had better walk in the Spirit. We had better learn to walk in the Spirit, or our flesh is going to win the war. If we don't walk in the Spirit, that's how we come to these treasures. It is the Holy Spirit who leads us into these treasures in Christ. But only for those who are in a war against the flesh and allow the Spirit to lead. Spiritual treasures can only be experienced by those who deny their flesh and strengthen their spirit. That's why Jesus said, if anyone will follow me, he must deny himself. I mean, Jesus knows that old self, that flesh, wants to be lazy. It wants to have its pity party. It's comfortable saying, it's too hard. I don't want to put forth the effort. We must learn to deny that and take up our cross daily and follow the Lord. And Paul made this very clear, that following the flesh or living according to the Spirit, that is something we have to decide. Romans chapter 8, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, doesn't that sound like the Israelites? What were they told that they better do with the people in the land of Canaan? Put them to death. Drive them out. So you know what? You know what our giants are? Our Canaanites are those areas in our flesh that need to be put to death. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into putting those things to death so that we can experience the promises of God in Christ. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We must learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to deny our flesh and put to death old habits. And I'm grateful that some of you have. I have seen some of you put to death some old habits. And it's wonderful. Continue. Don't. Once you get that one put to death, start on the next one. You know, we sometimes do one at a time. You know, Clemente's already put to death smoking. Now he's working on that loudness. You know, he's fighting. He's, you know, you guys are helping him, right?
Right? They whisper, sir.
That's right. He's trying. He's trying. So it's wonderful. I see progress there.
Amen.
You know, and I'm rejoicing about that. You know, we must learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and get these old habits, these complaining and murmuring and just getting down and getting discouraged. You think the devil minds if you get discouraged? That's just like opening the door for him. That's just like going to bed and leaving the front door unlocked. That's what discouragement is. Yeah, just, you're discouraged. You can't help it. You can't just rejoice in the Lord now. No, just give in to those feelings. You're just kind of feeling down. You're just feeling blue. That's fine, yeah. That's fine. Like, just leave your car unlocked. Why don't you just leave your valuables out in the front yard? Because, look, the devil doesn't mind if you make it easy. The thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. And if we're not going to fight, we just make it easy for him. This is a process that takes place as we learn to be led by the Spirit. Rather than be enslaved by the lust of our flesh or just our feelings, our spirit is ready. The Spirit, didn't Jesus say this? Have you ever figured it out? The Spirit is willing. It's the flesh is weak. You don't expect your flesh to want this, but in your spirit, in your inner man, there is a willingness. The Spirit is willing. And you just need to learn to be led by where that willingness is. Because Paul said, God is at work in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So we need to learn to walk in that. So here's what Paul said in Galatians chapter 5. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we can only receive spiritual treasure as we grow in spiritual capacity. Our natural mind cannot grasp this, okay? This is not the natural mind. Your natural mind will say it's too hard. It'll take too long. I can't get it. It's just not working. Paul said this to the Corinthian church. These things we also speak, but not in words which man's wisdom teaches. In that, I'm at a disadvantage. I want to teach you by wisdom. I want my words to convince you. And I realize something. It's going to take more than just my teaching. It's going to take revelation from the Spirit of God working in you. I pray that He'll use my teaching and turn it into revelation for you. But it's not just something you can make ABC, follow this simple step, and it happens. It takes God making it alive to us. Paul says, with the wisdom that the Holy Spirit is teaching, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, and then he says it, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So it's only as we become spiritual that we begin to be able to enjoy the spiritual treasures. If we are not yet spiritual, can we enjoy the spiritual treasures? No, we're limited. Because, and I have a picture of it for you. Is it possible, or no, I should say, it is possible to be a spiritual baby in a natural adult body. I hope that's not a picture of you or me. It's not very flattering, is it? But if you're still weak and undeveloped and unspiritual and you're older, that's what it can look like to the Lord. That your spirit is the baby and your flesh is still too grown. That has to change. Because Paul told the Corinthians, I couldn't address you as spiritual, but mere infants in Christ. It's possible to be a spiritual infant because you haven't grown and developed. So development, we have to develop, we have to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and develop spiritual capacity. Because Paul mentioned this to the church of Galatians, that he actually was groaning. It felt like, he says, he felt like a mom in labor pains. My little children for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Now, these are Christians already. But what's he talking about? Until the Spirit of God is matured in you. Until you're experiencing fullness in Christ and maturity and stability and strength until your spirit is abounding. That's what he's saying. He said, I'd like to be present with you now and change my tone, for I have doubts about you. But this development takes effort. Let me say this, it's not automatic. You can become stationary. You can become stagnant. You can actually go backwards. It's called backsliding. Unless you intentionally are pressing in, like Jesus said, unless you're pressing in as the kingdom of God does and goes, taking it by force, you can become passive and not grow. This is what the writer of Hebrews says. For though by this time, you, talking to the believers, ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. But you've come to need milk and not solid food. It's supposed to be the other way around. You start with milk and become in need of solid food. For everyone who partakes of only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. For he's a babe. Yeah. But solid food belongs to those who are full length. That beautiful, that looks like a New York strip steak right there to me. That's not doing him any good. He can't enjoy that. So God can set before us wonderful riches in Christ.
That meat is not even cooked.
No. We have to grow. Solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, listen, who's of full age? In other words, who's matured, who's grown. That is, those who by continual practice have exercised their senses, or they're trained their senses to discern both good and evil. So, as we grow spiritually, we're able, $5, as we grow spiritually, we're able to appropriate more and more of spiritual treasures in Christ Jesus. Okay? That's why we need to grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The more spiritual we become, the more of the spiritual treasures in Christ we're going to be able to fully enjoy. And the more of those spiritual treasures we enjoy, the more dynamic of a believer we will be and the greater testimony we will have amongst the people in our lives. Poor growth results in spiritual poverty, Even though God has given everyone every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. That's why Peter said this, and he had it right in 2 Peter chapter 1, where he says to them, he writes, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in," look, "the knowledge of God and in Jesus Christ our Lord." You know, I don't know if you've noticed, but what I shared Sunday and what I'm feeling right now is I want more grace. And I do believe that grace can be multiplied, not just added, multiplied. 1 + 1 = 2, but I want it. I want 5 times 4. Amen. You know, I want it multiplied. I believe that we have greater and greater capacity. It says in John 1, "Of his fullness, we have all received grace for grace." So I believe I receive grace in order to receive even more grace. And if I am full of grace, guess what the people in my life get to experience? That grace. They get to experience the grace that's being multiplied in me. But it's through knowing God. As we grow in our knowledge of God, grace is multiplied. His divine power has given us to all things that pertain to life and godliness. But look, through the knowledge of him. If we don't know him enough or adequately, it's limited. And limited growth equals a limited capacity. We see that? Okay, so let's grow this year. Let's grow aggressively. Let's determine it's something we long for and we press into so that we can experience it, not just selfishly. Let's be like that man, even if we don't have it now. Let's be like that man who went to his neighbor's house. Remember when Jesus was talking about prayer? He talked about that man who went to his neighbor's house in the middle of the night banging on the door because he wanted something to be able to give the people who had come to him. I want to be filled with grace for you. I don't want to be, if I'm lazy, it affects you. If you're lazy, it affects the people in your life. If we're lazy, it affects this community. You see the ramification? And if we're being filled, guess what? Others in our life are going to be affected in the right way.
Hey,
all right, that's what we want.
Can I share something with that?
Sure.
And just saying what you're saying, but we have to be careful that we don't look at spiritual growth as something that looks like how we're speaking. Yes, how we speak in grace, but like sometimes we equate knowledge and knowing a lot by Bible knowledge. Do you know where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
People look at people that are speaking about the Bible, or they say a lot of things, but we don't understand. It's not about what we're hearing with our, it's about life when you're at home.
That's right.
It's about when you're in the middle of conflict.
It's about your attitude and your demeanor and your actions.
Because you can talk real good, but not be spiritual.
Actions speak louder than words. And let your light so shine before men that they may see. What are they going to see? Your good works. Something you're doing, they're going to recognize is good. And it's because you're receiving his grace to enable you to do that good. And when they see that good, they glorify the Father in heaven. That's what we want. And you can do it without quoting the Bible. You don't have to be a Bible expert. Let them experience the kindness and love and mercy and goodness of Christ through you. Right?
I don't think there are Bible experts. Because, and this is why I say that I don't think there are Bible experts. If somebody was to be, quote, an expert, God would not be God.
Yeah,
and
right.
That person, not really.
Yeah, I follow you.
God would not be God, and that person would not be human.
Yeah. Yeah, God's word is so rich and so right. So this is the lesson to take home from us tonight, for us tonight. failure to grow in the grace and knowledge of our spiritual life will result in living outside of the fullness of Christ. And remember, living outside of the fullness of Christ might mean God gives you your daily bread.
Yes.
He sustains you. Even though he's angry with you, he's still in your life, but you're not experiencing the abundance of Christ. And that's the danger. Yeah, Fabian? Yeah.
The word lust of the flesh, many times people associate a sexual matter.
Right. But
the fact of the matter is, lust of the flesh can be
right.
Your priority.
Right. It really, a good idea, a good description of word, passions, just natural passions and feeling, strong feelings and desires.
Can I share one more thing?
Yes.
One of the words for me this year has been the word flourish. I want to flourish. But one of the things I felt like the Lord spoke to my heart in is that flourishing doesn't always mean that we feel.
Yeah, okay.
Be careful to not think that you have to be flourishing or being growing in Christ means you're always feeling these great feelings. Sometimes it's a matter of just walking by faith, and
that's
you
right.
might not feel great, but God's with you, and you know he's
for example,
good.
Point to me right now, point to me a bush or a tree that's flourishing right here in this area. This is winter. They're enduring, right? But if they're enduring and they're healthy, spring comes and what will happen? Boom, they will flourish. We need to stay in the Lord. You may not feel the sap running. Don't live by your feelings. Walk by faith. And you watch him. He's able to bring forth that wonderful flourishing, you know. So this year, okay, let's press in and give diligence to fully develop our faith. Let's grow in our capacity. And as we grow in our capacity, the more spiritual we become, the more of the spiritual treasures in Christ we will just be filled with. Then we'll begin, like Dina said, to flourish. We'll experience the abundance of life, and everyone in our life will know and see the difference.
Amen.
And it may make the difference in whether they're stirred out of their complacency if they see the life that we're experiencing. You know, it's a wonderful reason to pursue it, not just a selfish thing. Now, let me stop this, and I want to talk to you about